Welcome to the Prophet University audio series. Here are your hosts, Bill Kennard and Tom Grandy.
Welcome to the Prophet University audio series. I'm Bill Kennard, along with our company's founder, Tom Grandy. This month's program is titled An Interview with Steve Howard, one of the industry's top sales trainers. We all have a lot to learn when it comes to sales. Part of that learning curve is listening to people who have spent a lifetime doing what they do. This presentation is an interview with Steve Howard, one of the top sales trainers in the trades industry today. Tom, you've known Steve for a number of years, haven't you?
I sure have, Bill. Steve and I started our careers in the trades industry at roughly the same time. It's been a running conversation between Steve and I over the years in terms of what's coming up on the horizon in terms of new training. Steve has always been 2 to 3 years ahead of me when it comes to new training ideas. As a matter of fact, Steve's 5-day sales training class that he created was the inspiration for our original 3-day basic business bootcamp, which is now our 2-day signature program called Planning for Profit. Today, Steve's going to share lots of sales tips with our listeners that he picked up over his 37-year career.
Well, Tom, there's no question. It sounds like this interview with Steve is going to provide a wealth of information in the area of sales. Steve Howard is the founder of the ACT Group, a 37-year-old training and consulting company with clients from Cape Town, South Africa to Adelaide, South Australia. ACT is the parent company of No Pressure Selling and Action Press. Steve has a unique ability to turn business problems into simple processes. In 1988, he started his long-running HVACR News column titled Profitable Service in the New Economy. Steve's easy-to-implement sales and business process has helped tens of thousands of home improvement contractors and their team members reduce stress and make more money. Steve is the author of Service Agreement Dynamics, 50 Low-Cost Ways to Acquire New Customers, Boomer Selling, and No Pressure Selling. And now let's give a listen to the interview with Steve Howard, one of the industry's top sales trainers, with this month's Prophet University audio series presentation.
My name is Tom Grandy. I'm the founder of Grandy & Associates. And today I have the distinct pleasure of interviewing one of my long-term friends, probably the best sales trainer in the entire industry, Steve Howard. Steve and I have known each other for goodness, I don't know how many years, Steve. It's been quite a while. I have in my notes that we started Grandy & Associates in 1987, but you started in 1985. Is that right?
Right. That's correct.
Okay. What was your background before that?
Well, I was an aircraft mechanic in the Air Force, and I went and got my A&P license after that, and the bottom fell out of the aviation industry, so I went to trade school to learn how to be an air conditioning technician, which was probably the smartest move I ever made in my life.
Fantastic. So I've always admired you, and you probably remember I tend to call you every 3 years or so because you're always about 2 to 3 years ahead of where we are or where I need to be.
That's kind. Thank you, Tom.
So, and one of the things I remember is that you started your 4 to 5 day sales training for a train and you had people coming to your location. I said, man, that sounds like a really neat idea. So out of that, I started the 3-day basic business bootcamp. In hopes people would come here. It didn't work quite that way, but it did get me off the road some. So,
well, that's wonderful. Getting off the road is a good thing. Owensboro doesn't have the same cachet as Phoenix sometimes.
You think? let's just kind of go through some things that we've thought about. First thing is, Steve, what would you consider the three most important things you've learned over the last 37 years in business?
The most important thing, I believe, in business, Tom, is sales. Without sales, nothing else happens. And key to sales is to sell value instead of price. And what happens when you sell price, the profits are reduced or eliminated because there's always somebody that's going to have a lower price. Sometimes you could work twice as hard for the same money. For example, if you give a 20% price cut with a 40% gross margin, you got to work twice as hard for the same money. A lot of contractors don't realize that. The third thing is expectations are lower. When you sell price, you sell low expectations. Another thing is, today, five-star Google reviews are like the Holy Grail, aren't they?
Right.
And when you sell price, what happens is consumers get less than they expected, and they give you less than five-star reviews. And so the customers that buy typically the highest price and the highest value give the best reviews. You also get disloyal customers. When you sell price and customers buy price, the next time they buy, they're going to buy from the person that sells the lowest price. And that's how, so you can't have loyal customers when you sell price. You also eliminate the price floor. If you cut your price once, what's keeping it from cutting it again and again? The other thing is that we lose credibility when we sell price. A $300 price cut is really like a $300 overcharge in the buyer's mind. Give me your best price up front. Tell me the value of it, and let's go from there. You may not get paid. I think if contractors look at their slow pays, their no pays, they'll find that the majority of the time they're the price buyers, not the value buyers. And then the last thing is, contractors, this is what we've seen over 40 years, contractors that sell the lowest price typically don't stay in business very long. For example, the firms that the busiest day in the life of a contractor that sells price is the day before they go bankrupt. Well, let me ask you this, Tom, what has been your experience on price buyers?
We tell our guys the same thing from the business side of it. If you're selling on price, it's just a matter of time before you go out of business. And most of the time when people sell on price, it's based on the fact that they don't understand their numbers. They don't understand what it have to charge to stay in business. And you're right. Once you cut your price, everybody expects you to cut your price.
Well, I remember going to my first Tom Grandy seminar in Phoenix many years ago for Mechanical Contractors Association. And you made the point about unapplied labor and how most contractors don't understand how unapplied labor affects their price throughout the year. And it was revolutionary. And you really helped me understand what it's going to take to be more successful. So part of where I am today is based on what I've learned from you.
Well, that's the beauty of this industry. There's no new ideas. We just share with each other.
Yeah. You can't copyright good ideas. So choosing the right sales process can be the difference between success and failure. After 50 years of statistical analysis, Dr. W. Edward Deming, the father of quality improvement, discovered that every process has a beginning and an end. And if the most important 15% of the process is implemented correctly, the most important 15%, 85% of the desired outcome is just about assured. One of the most important things you could do to ensure the process is determine the most important 15%. Now, as a contractor, think about everything that your business does as a master process. Accounting, hiring, installing, servicing, selling, and so on. So what is the most important 15%? It kind of goes back to what we just talked about. The most important 15% is sales. Again, if sales doesn't happen, nothing else happens. Once the sales process is operating effectively, 85% of your other business functions tend to fall into place. When you consistently sell premium products and premium profits, accounting is more exciting, hiring great people is a lot easier, and managing is less stressful and a whole lot of fun. Now, for someone, if I may ask you a question, that does accounting training for contractors, how important is sales to the accounting process?
Well, if you don't have any sales, you don't have anything to count for.
I guess that's why they call that the top line.
I think so.
Well, I guess the next thing is, how do we sell value? And we have a thing called the wheel of value that we've developed. It graphically shows buyers exactly what value is. The first thing is going to be the company. How is your company different? What benefits do you provide? How are your employees trained? Are they drug tested? Do they have uniforms? Do they wear booties into the house? It's a combination of dozens and dozens of different things. And a lot of it, the customer doesn't even realize when they see a clean cut service technician with booties on and in a well, a clean truck that's well organized, how that affects their decision to buy. Yeah. The next thing we have, it's called, we have a trademark. It's called the greatest peace of mind. And the key is to understand how much value customers place on peace of mind. We believe that without peace of mind, people can't buy. Peace of mind is that green light of motion that allows customers to buy a premium product at a fair price because they trust the person that's offering them because they've reduced the risk. Dr. Abraham Maslow, who gave us the theory of hierarchy, said that people can't be emotionally comfortable unless their physical comfort is met, their physical needs are met. And so the way that we provide the greatest peace of mind is to reduce the most risk. Now, how do we reduce the most risk? The first way we reduce the most risk is to reduce the physical risk. And here's the wonderful thing that comes in. For example, a blower door switch. Every unit that has a blower door has a blower door switch. But if you're the only contractor that's telling the consumer that you have a blower door switch, if they open the blower door, it shuts off for safety. So if a child or even an adult gets in there, the fan shuts off, you don't have to worry about it. You've added value that your competition has it, even though they have the same benefit. So value is about telling about the benefits. And the first one is reducing risk. The next one is reducing the psychological risk. Tell us why we're safe to hire. And so part of the psychological risk is it manifests itself as understanding what the customer's greatest fears are. Feeling foolish, feeling misunderstood, feeling like they've made a bad decision. So it's helping people understand how to make a good decision by asking them questions up front on how what they fear, what their concerns are, what keeps them awake at night. And once we know what those are, then we can reduce those psychological risks. The next thing is functional risk. And sooner or later, everything that's mechanical is going to break. Now, what I want to hear as a consumer is, what do you do and what does what you sell me is, how does that keep from breaking? How is it better than the alternatives that are out there? How am I going to sleep better at night knowing that I'm covered by a 12-year compressor warranty? And then it becomes financial risk. The safest investment is the lowest risk. Most premium buyers are passionate about money. And so one of the things that we want to do, for those of us that are in the HVAC industry, we are so blessed because what we sell saves money every month on a utility bill. Now, not everybody does that. So in most trades, there's something that's unique that's going to do something to help reduce financial risk. And if you don't tell the customer, they don't know it. And then the last thing is social risk. And there's about 20% of the consumers out there that are concerned about pride, prestige, social risk. There's a story about a young man that was at a cocktail party. He met a distinguished woman and asked her what she did. And she said, well, she was a Rolex watch sales executive. And the young man said, well, I have a Seiko. It keeps just as good time as any Rolex ever made. And she said, you know, you're right. We're not in the watch business. We're in the luxury business. Mm-hmm. And so for those customers, about the 20% that are in the luxury business, they're the ones that drive the top of the line vehicle. They're the ones that have the top of the line appliances in the home. And so one of the things that we want to do is to talk about our brand, the prestige it provides, and how we can reduce social risk. So that's how the second quadrant of the wheel of value, the greatest peace of mind, is reducing the greatest amount of risk. The third thing is the customer's ideal solution. We want to give people what is important to them. And how do you know what's important to somebody you've never met? And the answer is really simple. Ask questions. And if you ask the right questions, and the hardest part here is to be quiet and let the customer answer without interrupting. And if you'll do that, you'll find what you need to do to help the customer design their ideal solution. And here's the beautiful part. When you design it around their requirements, there's less resistance because people don't resist their own ideas. So you use their idea to create what's best for them. And whatever it is, whether it's the highest price or the lowest price, if that's what's best for them, then do what's right for the customer. But you'll find out that 80% of the time, people don't buy the lowest cost minimum solution. They buy the value that's best for them and their family. And then the fourth thing on the wheel of value is you. Nobody else can provide you. You're unique. You're the one that builds trust with the client. And when you come right down to it, when consumers are buying a product that they buy every 20 years, like an air conditioning system, or every 10 years, they're not familiar with it. And there's a lot of technology. Yesterday I spent 4 years with a comfort consultant. We lost a compressor, one of our units, and there was so many options. And I come from this industry and I was confused at times. And so that's where you come across as the person, the ally, the consultant that they can trust, because you're not going to teach people how a heat pump works, but you can build the highest value. The customer says, I don't know how need to know how it works. I just need to know that this is the right person for me. So that's the wheel of value. You, your company, the greatest peace of mind, and the customer's ideal solution.
That's really good, Steve. And I really like that. It reminds me of a couple of different things that you touched on. And one in particular is letting the customer talk, finding out what's going on in the middle of it. I know you're real familiar with Sharon Roberts, as I am too. And she has a program called Selling to Women. And she talks about the fact that, you know, men in particular, when we're talking, you talk, I talk, we listen to each other. When women talk, they kind of talk at the same time and that sort of thing. But what happens is if you interrupt a woman in the middle of her thinking process, because she tends to think out loud, you've cut off communication. And once you've cut off communication, the answer is no, even if they sit there and smile and nod and do all those things in the middle of it. And it's so important to, as you mentioned, let them talk, let them tell you what the problems are. Even if you know what the problems are yourself, let them tell you.
And that's a lot harder than you think. I know as someone who's been married for 52 years, I wished I would have learned this a long time ago.
53 years, and I know exactly what you're talking about.
So you know, we're having trouble learning this over the years. The consultants need to figure this out real quick or they'll lose money and sales.
That's right. Well, speaking of sales in general, you have a program called No Pressure Selling. It has a process. Thousands of home improvement contractors excel in sales. Tell us how you developed that.
When I was in the Air Force, I was an aircraft mechanic. And one of the things that I learned was using the right tool for every job. I mean, in fact, in the Air Force, we had a thing called technical orders. Everything you did was a process, and it wasn't just a process, it was an order. And if you didn't follow the process, you were breaking orders and you could be in trouble. I mean, so understanding there's a right tool for every job. And then when I became a service technician, I, after going on multiple service calls, I realized I could troubleshoot an air conditioning unit with three tools. All you really need is an amp probe or voltmeter amp probe. You need a set of refrigeration gauges and a temperature analyzer, and you can solve 90% of the problems. And so the concept was, well, in sales, what if we had three tools that people like me that didn't have a background in sales could use to be successful? And so that's where we developed three tools. We developed a thing called the Comfort Concerns List, which is a list of questions that we ask customers. Be quiet, listen, fill it out. The second thing was the wheel of value that we talked about, that we could show the customer graphically how we're different and how we provide more value. And the third thing is a chart that we call estimated out of pocket. And the wonderful thing, if a customer goes from, for example, a 10 SEER to a 20 SEER air conditioning system, they cut their power bill in half. Well, taking that lower power bill, that goes a long ways to providing money for the finance charge. And so it's not just what it costs per month of the finance charge. You can subtract the estimated savings from that if the customer agrees with your numbers, and you can get the numbers down so it becomes very affordable even with a premium system. So those are the three tools that we developed, just like the tools that a technician uses.
Okay. So what's the first tool that you developed in that whole process?
I developed, going back to the Air Force, I developed a thing called the Comfort Concerns List. And it was based on, well, let me, quick story. So how does the Air Force make sure a 19-year-old kid fixes an airplane properly? The way they did that, I was working on a C-47 DC-3 in Binh Tui, Vietnam. And one day I would be the aircraft mechanic. There's two of us. And the next day I would fly as a leaflet kicker on psychological warfare missions and other missions. We were in an organization called the 5th Air Commandos, and we did all kinds of crazy things. But before every mission, we'd sit at the back of the airplane and the pilots would go through their checklist. And the checklist was really nothing more than the pilot asking the co-pilot a question. He would say, mixture. And the co-pilot would say, mixture set. Then he'd say mags, and he'd say master mag set. So he would go through this process of asking questions to the co-pilot, and the co-pilot would answer it. And I'm going, that's the key. They did that on every single mission every time. Mm-hmm. And sometimes it was so hot back in that airplane, nobody said take off because we wanted them to go through their checklist. And so when I got into sales, I didn't see anybody writing down the questions. And I see a lot of people trying to think of the questions they were going to ask. But by not having the questions written down, you're going to forget something. So we just came up with a list of questions with enough space that customers could answer them. And while we're taking notes, it gives the customer quiet time. And anybody could do this, but not everybody does. So the first tool that we developed was the comfort concerns list, question checklist.
Yeah, that's interesting because that really applies to all businesses. I don't care what you're doing. I remember even Dave Ramsey listening to him. They're talking about their conference and they've got this massive manual that's probably 6 inches thick, but it has every single thing that needs to be done by each person at this point in time. But if you don't have a checklist, you don't know whether you've covered it all. And unfortunately, you get comfortable. After a while, you've done it 50 times. So I can remember that. Well, before long, guess what? You forget one item or two, and it's important. So having a checklist is really, really, really good.
No, you're right. What's
the second most important thing that you've learned about business in general?
I'm going to say people. I mean, we're in the people business. If you don't have the right people in your company, you're not going to be successful. And finding good people is not the easiest thing in the world. You really need to hire for attitude, aptitude, and personality, mm-hmm. because those are three things you're not going to change. No matter how hard you try, you're not going to change. Now, I take that back. There's rare occasions, but people typically don't change your personality. If you're not customer oriented today, you probably won't be customer oriented tomorrow. And so it's finding the best people. And that kind of goes back to the first thing about sales. If you're selling the lowest cost minimum solution, you probably don't have enough money at the end of the day or at the end of the month to hire the best people to do the job.
Yeah, you're 100% right. And we have a thing that we share with contractors on the business side, and that is hire for attitude, train for service. Because like you say, you're not going to change most people's attitudes in the middle of the process. You can train them to do different things. We have this little game that my wife and I play sometimes. We go to a fast food place in particular, and you go up to the counter, and there's this person who has this bubbly, happy personality. I mean, just different than anybody else in the whole store. And we'll get her food, we'll sit down, and we'll look at each other and say, you know what? Next time we come in here, they're probably not going to be here anymore, because somebody's going to pick them up and they're going to hire them somewhere else because of their attitude. It's really amazing.
Well, you're thinking about it at a restaurant, a food server, attitude determines how much money they make in tips.
Absolutely. Now, does it cost contractors more to hire the best people?
It costs less to hire the best people. Think about this, especially in a service business. Having somebody to go out there that can do the job quicker, that can do the job better, with no callbacks, what's that worth? Because if you don't have the right person, I guarantee you, you're going to have callbacks. You're going to have upset customers. You're not going to do the job right the first time. And so there's a lot of contractors that can't get over that hurdle. But if you hire the best people and charge for the value, because the best people are worth more, they provide more value, and you can charge more for it.
Yeah, you're 100% right. It's been several years ago. I remember working with a contractor up in Wisconsin. We were doing a one-on-one interview or a company overview, and we're going through their different costs of doing business. And in that area, at that point in time, the typical technician was making somewhere between $20, $25 an hour. And we got to his technicians, and he's paying them $48 an hour. And I said, how in the world can you afford to do that? And he went through the same thing you just said. You know, they show up on time, they do quality work, they have less callbacks, they're better with customer service, they're dependable. He says, we make it up in efficiency easily. And I can depend on the people to be there every single day.
And I bet he was a very successful contractor.
He was a very successful contractor. It's amazing when you do things right, it makes a difference on the bottom line.
You know, it's kind of nice getting to be this age and looking back at how simple some of these things are that we make too hard.
Yeah, it's interesting. When we started doing business training 35 years ago, we would tell the contractors, if you just do quality work, you do what you said you're going to do, when you said you were going to do it, you'd have all the work you could ever make. You know what? It's the same principle today.
It's all about people and doing the right thing.
Yeah, it is. It is. What's the third most important thing you learned over the years?
You can't know everything. As a business person, as an owner of a company, it's impossible to know everything. So one of the secrets to my success, especially when I was a service technician, I would ask people that owned the expensive buildings and apartment complexes what made them successful. And it's amazing. If you ask people questions, they'll give you the right answer. And so I got to learn from all these people that I learned a little bit from everybody. And so the key is to find trusted advisors. People, for example, yourself, you've been one of my trusted advisors when it came to understanding the P&L and understanding unapplied labor and understanding how to charge. We have to put everything into the price, for example, truck leases that most contractors don't think about. And so it's having trusted advisors. Ron Smith, trusted advisor, who did an amazing job of teaching the HVAC industry how to sell service agreements.
Mm-hmm.
There's Matt Michel is another trusted advisor. He is, I don't know how he can write so many words a year, but the guy is prolific, and mm-hmm. what he says is good advice. And our president, James Mueller, is a trusted advisor. I rely on him so much because he's out in the field every day seeing things that I don't see from my end of it. But my most trusted advisor is my 50% business partner, who is my wife, Charlotte. And sometimes when you're married to your partner, it's not the easiest partnership. But at the end of the day, there's been so many times that Charlotte's totally disagreed with me that she was 100% correct. and I would have gone off on the wrong path without her advice. Mm-hmm. So I guess the advice to give to the listeners is get as much advice from the people that you can trust is the most advice you can get. And take the advice that works for you. You don't have to take all of it, but you can't know everything. You got to get help.
Yeah, and that's a real good point. We encourage contractors, and I'm sure you do the same thing, to join mixed groups at all possible. You know, people who do similar type work and non-competitive territories, and just open up with each other, because you learn stuff from people that have already been through it. There's no sense in re-evaluating the wheel once again when you got questions, and you got a whole network of people you can call and say, "Hey, what's going on?" And they're similar to where you are.
And that's what makes this industry so wonderful, is because so many people want to share, because mm-hmm. they've gone down some hard roads and they're willing to help you keep from going down that hard road. All you got to do is ask and listen and take action.
Yeah, it's pride. We think we can handle it all, and the reality is we can. It's just a matter of what point in your life you come to that point.
That's a great point, because I guess I was prideful when I started, because I thought, well, I could do this better than anybody else. And I remember when we hired our first trader, because I was doing all the training, a guy named Greg Woodman, amazing trader. I thought I had to do it myself. He was better than I was, and it's going, wait a second. This is pretty cool. What an epiphany. So what you do is you hire people better than you are to do a job better than you can do, and things are happy.
Yeah, it's amazing. I remember when Bill Kennard joined the group and is now president of the company, has been for 10 years now. He bought the company. But I listened to him present, and it's almost like hearing yourself. he puts a different twist on it, a little more excitement on it, but the words come out the same, and other trainers that he's training, it's the same thing. So a consistent message goes out, but different personalities come in the middle of that process, and it becomes more effective than what you had to begin with.
And Tom, that is one of the secrets to the success of the ACT Group and No Pressure Selling both, is our trainers teach a consistent message, the No Pressure Selling process, just some of the things that we talked about today, and they all put their own spin on it. And that's what makes it wonderful. They believe in the process, but they can say it a different way. And what makes it very interesting from a training standpoint is the same client will hire us maybe two or three times over a couple of years, and we send a different trainer, and they get the same message with a different voice, which makes it easier for them to remember and act on. They go, "I heard this before." And so... It's so wonderful when you learn to get out of your own way.
Absolutely. Absolutely. As we kind of finish up here, Steve, think about your whole career. What's perhaps the biggest mistake, or maybe the best decision you ever made over that period of time?
Wow, that's a very good question. The hardest part when I was in business was being on the road 4 and 5 days a week and being away from my family for 10 years. And that was one of those things where, do you build the business or you work on your family, or you try to do both? And I pretty much did a lousy job of doing both. And thank God I got to the point where we were able to hire Greg and our other trainers, where I could get off the road. And it changed things. So that was the most important thing was to figure out that Steve Howard didn't need to do all the training. Other people could do it better than you. So I guess that was the most important thing I learned that I didn't realize until we hired Greg.
Okay. And just as a last question, assume you're a new contractor, you've been in business 2 or 3 years. What are just 2 or 3 things that you should, I want to share with them as a kind of granddad? We're sitting next to him, and let me tell you about this, son, before you get into business too far.
If I could even step back a step farther, first of all, even before you get into business, get into a trade. There's so many people that spend a lot of money going to college for 4 years. They get a degree that doesn't do them any good, but they're paying student debts for the rest of their lives. My grandson is just finishing his first month at refrigeration school here in Phoenix, and he loves it. And he's talking about now going to college after he finishes this at night and getting some business skills. So having the right trade to begin with is the key. And because there's so few people that want to get dirty anymore. They don't want to work outside. So what that does is it gives us advantage because less people, supply and demand. As the supply of good people go down, demand goes up, we get paid more.
Right.
Starting out in business, get as much advice from as many people as you can. Sign up for a Grady and Associates seminar first. I don't know if it would be either first or second. In our business, we say, go to no pressure selling training first because you got to get sales right.
Right.
And so, because we say, if you don't have sales, you don't have anything to account for.
True.
So get into a class that teaches you how to sell the way the customer wants to buy. And then the second thing is understand your finances. I'm sure that you could pull your hair out looking at all the people that went out of business because they ran out of cash.
Yeah.
They had so much inventory. They had so many new trucks. They had so many leases. At the end of the day, they couldn't make payroll.
Yeah.
Go ahead. Well, I was just going to say, it's a combination of sales skills, marketing skills, and accounting skills. If you get that three-legged stool right, you're pretty much assured that you're going to be successful.
Yeah, and that puts you light years ahead of most of the industry. It really does.
So. But you can't do it yourself. You have to do it with other people.
Yep. It's I'm amazed as I watch owners move from the field into the office, and then all of a sudden they hit this plateau, usually around $1 million in gross sales, and you can't get any bigger unless you get some help. I mean, they're working 60, 70 hours a week right now. But again, that pride thing comes in, and I don't want somebody else to take care of it. And I don't want to delegate because they won't do as good as I will. Well, the reality is they may not do it as good as you do, but you know what? It's acceptable to the customer.
Well, and people get better. I mean, the good people get better.
Yep. And that goes back to hiring the good people to start with better.
Isn't it amazing what we've talked about today, Tom? Is just basic hit, run, throw. It's just basic things that if we did the basics right, everything else would fall in place.
Absolutely. Well, Steve, it's been a real pleasure connecting with you again. We appreciate you sharing your expertise with our audience today. We wish you well in the future as you continue to influence young entrepreneurs throughout the industry. And just it's a blessing knowing you and spending time with you.
As always, we welcome your feedback on each month's presentation. Please feel free to give us a call at 877-202-8891. The vision of Grandy & Associates is quite simple. We teach companies how to run profitable businesses. For more information on how we do that, check out our website at www.grandyassociates.com. Or give us a call at 1-877-202-8891. Profit University Audio Series is produced and distributed by Grandy & Associates. If we can be of service to you, give us a call on our toll-free line at 1-877-202-8891. Until next month, remember, invest your time and invest your money in those things that will reproduce.